So just a short prayer as we come to our thoughts this morning. So Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So we'll get some slides up then for this morning. There we are. There's the first one. So I'm going to talk about something this morning from Methodism, and then relate that to the Bible readings this morning. And then at the very end of that, we're going to pray a special prayer, the Methodist Covenant Prayer, which we pray at the beginning of every year. But it is the beginning of a year, so I wonder if any of you who have done that thing that we sometimes do at this time of making New Year's resolutions. Any resolution makers? Or are we all? We're getting a bit too long in the tooth to know that it never usually happens. And in some ways, what I'm talking about this morning is a form of resolution. But the sort of resolutions that we often make ourselves are often very personal ones. Lose some weight. That's one I have a go at every year. Still trying. Walk 10,000 steps a day. Try not to be late for appointments. All of these sort of little personal things in our own lives that we can do. And those are important and worthy if we can manage them. But what I'm talking about this morning is perhaps a much more serious commitment. It's that resolution, that covenant, as we call it, that contract, that deal that we make with God, that new covenant that Jesus gave us to live by. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. It's a strange sort of word. It probably doesn't come up all that often in our modern lives. It's, it comes up officially in things like when we're buying a house. You know, there might be a covenant to say you can't put your caravan up the side or something like that, or you can't keep horses or pigs. I think ours has got something like that in it. But this idea of a covenant, of a solemn agreement, goes back quite a long way. It's a strong tradition in Methodism, but it wasn't John Wesley's idea. He picked it up from the Puritans, the sort of century before he was preaching and he was active. And it was something that they thought was a good thing to do. The Puritans, of course, were very much back-to-basics sort of people. They honoured the Bible above all else, and they looked all the time to keep their faith simple and to focus on Jesus and what he'd done for them. So that's the sort of, the sort of background to this. Puritanism was rather an extreme version of Christianity, certainly at the same time as these ideas about covenant were being thought of. Oliver Cromwell banned Christmas for many years, and we probably wouldn't want to go quite as far as that. But nevertheless, it's worth thinking about this idea of making this agreement or reaffirming, because it's something many of us have made already. It's not new, but we know that we have trouble, even as we do with those personal resolutions, we have trouble keeping to our promises. And so it's worth just thinking again and renewing them from time to time. So what is a covenant? What's this idea that we're talking about this morning? Well, over all and above everything, it's about relationship. In this case, the relationship between God and the relationship between us. And that relationship is an individual one. Each individual, but as the reading about the vine very strongly reminds us, it's also about us as a worshipping body, us as a church, you as a chapel here in Rington, ourselves as a chapel in Churchill down the road, and all the other fellowships, all the other branches, all around the country and all around the world. We're all part of this agreement, part of this joining together. And just, I suppose I put a quote in there, going back to Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says, "I will be your God and you will be my people." And that's the basis of it. Now, it does require decisive commitment, like many agreements do. So you can't sit on the fence. You have to either agree to it or not. And it all comes from God's love for all of us. And of course, if you're familiar with your Old Testament, then you'll have heard quite a lot about covenants there too. Back in Old Testament times, there's all sorts of covenants going on. God made covenants, particularly with Abraham and Moses. And the basis of that covenant was that I'll be your God and I'll prosper your nation and look after you as people if you worship me and you keep my commandments. So there's a quid pro quo in this agreement. And the story of the Old Testament, in summary, I sometimes think, is the Israelites had a go and they failed, and things then went badly wrong for them. But time and again, God gives them another chance and says, "You got it wrong, but let's have another go." And of course, our faith is the ultimate other chance, because eventually God said, "I've got to send my son Jesus, and then we're going to make a new covenant based on what he's done for us." So when Jesus came then, we had this new covenant. And this is where we come to our two passages for this morning. The first of those is this very vivid picture of the church and its organization and our relationship to God as a vineyard. And I suppose until very recently, this would be a strange thing to us. We'd probably have had to go on holiday somewhere to see one. But there's one just over the hill from here at Old Wick Court. I don't know if any of you have been there. My daughter got married there, so I'm fairly familiar with that. Well, she got married in the chapel, but the celebrations after were there. And so that gives us the picture of this very neat, very well-tended gardener. And remember, Jesus uses his father here as the gardener. So a vineyard and vines do need a lot of care. They need a lot of keeping in order. And also, they can produce a bunch of grapes as one vine, which has branches, it's one plant. But then often there are many, many, many of them together and all organized neatly in rows and looked after together. And in some ways, I suppose, that's how God would like his church to be organized. We sometimes don't quite manage that. We get a bit scattered around and higgledy-piggledy, and we have our own slightly different rules and our slightly different ways of how we should go about things. So I think there's probably a message for Christian unity in this passage. But another strong message, I think, is this message that we're all part of the whole. We need to work together. There's no fruit if all the bits don't play their part. And so that's, I think, what we should take away this morning. And we should agree to be part of this vine. The other little short reading then, I suppose, takes this a bit further. It says, and Paul reminds us here, that we're obligated to God. And remember, contracts, covenants have obligations. So we are obligated to God for all that he's done for us and for all that we owe him. And therefore, we should try and respond in some way, in love, to that response and see what we can do for him. And we should offer everything that we are. It's a wholehearted commitment to being his servants and working in that way. So we'll look again just another way at this idea of covenant and contract. I don't know if any of you have been in business, or one of the things that I've picked up through all my working life was I was involved in purchasing and supply. If you do the qualification there, you'll find that in order to make a contract, you need three things. You need an offer, you need acceptance, and you need a consideration. And a consideration is just a fancy way of saying you have to pay for it. And in fact, this appears in all contracts, and it's the reason a lot of you who maybe have houses or have property have to pay a peppercorn each year, because that's the consideration. There has to be some thing change hands, and so if it's going to be a contract. Now, this isn't an exact match with the covenant that we make with God, but we can learn a few things from it. So what's the offer? God offers us this close relationship with him, where he'll be our God. He will look after us. He will see us through this life and see us home to heaven. And then acceptance. We just have to accept that. You can accept or you can reject, but it's not somewhere you can sit on the fence. You need that decision, that decisive quality about it. And the consideration, well, who pays? So all the contracts have to have a price, but in this case, the price has been paid in full by Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, for all the things that we've got wrong and all the things that we will get wrong in the future. Again, you sung some great worship songs at the start now. Another one I like, I don't know if you know it here, is a song called Jesus Paid It All. I don't know if you know that one, but it's just a reminder that the price is paid in this way. And so even though now we come in making this contract to see what we can do for God, that's not how we are saved. That's not the basis of our faith. We respond to God in love, and we do as much as we can, and we try and find out what he wants us to do for him. But Jesus has already paid the price in full, so we're not trying to earn our way into heaven. So again, we'll look at things slightly different ways. So what is it then that we need to do here, or to think about? To renew our promise to God then, we need to think of ways that we serve God. And we also need to think of ways that we serve our neighbours. And these are renewals of promises, so there isn't anything here that you don't already do. But it's always worth just looking again at the beginning of a new year and saying, is there a way we can do better? Are we really listening to God? Do we know exactly what it is he wants us to do? And so that's the, I suppose, the story of this particular slide. So we need to be committed individually. We need to be committed in fellowship one with the other. We need to serve all our neighbours, particularly the poor and the disadvantaged or the disabled or the strangers or the refugees, those who don't have power or influence in our society. So we need to look around carefully for those. And we also need to look after each other. And I heard that very strongly in your prayers of intercession this morning. Jesus gave us this extra commandment. He said, love one another, look after each other. And so that's an important part of what we need to do too. But how will we know exactly what it is we need to do? Well, that's my take, I suppose, on the Christmas story this year, was to notice the part that Joseph plays in this. Because Joseph listened carefully and then he acted. Now, he was very lucky in that sense because he got two vivid dreams from angels. The first to say, you're all right. We know it wasn't you, but we don't suspect Mary of any indiscretion, if I put it that way. And go ahead and marry her. Now, culturally, that was a huge thing for Joseph to do. But he obeyed, and he got on and did it. And then, after all the trauma of the journey to Bethlehem and all the census and the birth in a way far away from home, not long after that, he gets this other dream which says, Herod's after the baby's life. Do a midnight flit. Run for your lives to Egypt. Now, that must have been hugely difficult as well. And God didn't supply him with the tickets and the wherewithal and the thall. He had to do the plans for all that himself. But he got on and did it and got them away into safety in Egypt. So that was an example of someone obeying. But how do we do that ourselves? We perhaps won't have those vivid dreams, but nevertheless, there are ways in which we can listen to God. We can listen to him in worship, as we're here this morning. We can listen to him in our daily devotions, whatever those may be. And there are many ways in which we can spend time with God each day, in prayer, in Bible study, just in taking time and talking to him briefly when we see a beautiful morning, like the morning like this. And he will, if we're quiet, speak back in those times. Now, he may have some very simple things for you to do. In fact, I often think a great resolution to make at this time of year, or any time of year, is that as you go out of your house or as you arise each morning, look for a small act of kindness or some small acts of kindness that you can perform for people as you work your way through the day. And there may be some behind the scenes jobs which need to be done but aren't too noticeable, but God wants you to do them. You may also have something challenging to do. God may be challenging you, and it might be a bit scary and a bit new. That happens as well. And if it is happening to you, he won't let you go. He won't just ask once. If you try and ignore him, he'll ask you again until you obey and get on with that. So some thoughts today then on this agreement that we're renewing this morning with God. And what I'd like you to do now is maybe just share with us, in the words of this Methodist covenant service, and I've brought a copy of the whole service with me, and I'll leave that behind if anyone wants to take it away or have a look at it. And you can also, if you like, if you put in Methodist covenant service on a Google search, it'll pop up and you can have a look at it there if you want to look in a bit more detail. But it is this, at the centre of this service is this prayerful promise that we make. Another thing that some of us in the Methodist Church have trouble with is one of in the old version of the prayer, it had a clause which said, put me to suffering. And that's something that a lot of people had trouble with. And certainly God doesn't deliberately make us suffer. But that you'll see the new words in the new prayer. He does challenge us and give us difficulties from time to time which we need to work through. And again, if you think about that vine passage, one of the great I ams in John's Gospel, then that's said, you'll be pruned. And again, that sort of plant to be healthy needs to be pruned back from time to time. So that's what I think that part of this prayer means, that we'll sometimes have what we think is a setback something that doesn't work out, but it's part of the plan as well, and things will come good in the end. So I ask you to join in now when it comes to the covenant prayer, and I'll prompt you then. And I'll just start with some introductory words, which I'll read to bring us to the point when we can renew that agreement. So
I invite you all to renew your Christian covenant this morning. I'm going to read these introductory words first, and then we'll share the covenant prayer together. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purpose for us, and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honor, others bring reproach. Most are suitable to our national inclinations and our material interests. But others are contrary to both. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others, we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant to Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. And so I invite you then to share in the covenant prayer, which is on the screen. And so we say together, I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Whenever you may place me, in all that I do, in all that I may endure, when there's work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, thy will be done, when I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all that I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Amen. And so that's an idea of the covenant, and a very solemn and, prayer which really commits us to what we may do in the coming year. So I invite you to take those thoughts and those promises away with you now as we sing again. This is a new little hymn we're going to sing next.